We continue our interview with Liza Patti, the friend of Rachel Morningstar Hoffman, a 23-year-old woman in Tallahassee, Florida, who was murdered by drug dealers in a Tallahassee Police Department undercover sting gone horribly awry. Yeah, and of course, as the situation went down, she was told to that the meeting would be in a park, in a city park there. But then apparently the two dealers in the case, the accused dealers in this case, wanted her to go elsewhere, which as I was reading this story, it didn't, you know, none of this really surprised me, you know.
When Rachel and I were talking that day, we were communicating through text message, and that wasn't the first change that the dealers had made either. The change to Gardner Road was either the third or the fourth change that they'd made. So if they'd made one change already, why couldn't they follow her to make a second change?
Right.
So they're saying that she broke protocol by going to a different location. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the Tallahassee police broke protocol first by not filing the correct paperwork with the state attorney's office. So if we're going to point fingers, mm-hmm. you know, maybe the first one to blame, if we're blaming people, should be the Tallahassee police, because they didn't file the correct paperwork to begin with, and maybe if they had, she wouldn't have been in that position to begin with.
And, ABC News had a FBI expert, former FBI expert there, who had made some really good points that, number one, you gotta tell the state's attorney's office if you're gonna use someone as a confidential informant. Number two, it'd be a good idea to inform their attorney in the situation. Mm-hmm. She was involved in a drug court diversionary program, which says number one thing is you don't get involved with anybody who's using or selling drugs.
Right. And, you know, it was obvious to the police by that point that that she was exposing herself to drugs. So in offering to expose her to more drugs that she'd never been accused of possessing, and a handgun, I mean, that, how is that helping her rehabilitate in a rehabilitation program?
Yeah. And just from a bust standpoint, I've had a little bit of a past, and I've known some pretty tough, heavy duty drug dealing types, and they're not stupid. When a 23-year-old fresh faced, innocent looking college girl comes out of nowhere and asks to buy, 1500 ecstasy pills, 2 ounces of cocaine, and a handgun, it sounds off a few alarms, don't you think?
Right. And I think that you made an important point, that you've seen that before. You've been around shady drug dealers. You know, Rachel, like myself, is a 23-year-old college graduate that came from a suburban city where we're not exposed to things like that. So maybe we're more naive than the average person because we've never seen stuff like that before.
Well, certainly the Tallahassee Police Department has, though.
Exactly. And so, they preyed upon Rachel's emotional, vulnerability at that point because, she was naive, and, B, she was scared because she didn't want to go to prison. So both of those things together is why I feel that she was emotionally blackmailed.
Yeah. Now, this is a situation that I'm sure a lot of people down there are rallying about and trying to get some help for the family and for the kids of the future here, the students of the future who might be tempted or involved in this sort of situation in the future. What is the current status of trying to protect people in these criminal or these confidential informant situations? Any laws or any ways we can change this for the future?
Yeah, I mean, one thing about Tallahassee police in general, once they told Rachel after she made some controlled phone calls, that in Tallahassee you come for education and you leave on probation, and that's not how it should be. Whether or not you're making bad choices, you still have your rights. Even if you're scared, hopefully that Rachel's case, if you're listening to this and this is happening to you, you have the right to say no. You don't have to become a confidential informant, and those are things that until now, Rachel didn't know and I didn't know and a lot of our friends didn't know. I mean, now we know what to do, and hopefully if you're listening to this, now you know what to do too. Say no. You don't have to do it. Nothing is worth your life.
Yes, and definitely run this all by an experienced attorney. We've got a list of a bunch of them from the Normal Legal Committee available at normal.org. But always run these things by your attorney. That could have saved Rachel's life right there.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they said that they wouldn't tell anybody. If she did this thing, no charges would be filed, and the drug court wouldn't know, and she'd still be in phase three of the program, and she'd still be able to leave Tallahassee.
Yeah, it's just a shame. So is there any effort underway now to change the laws with regard to confidential informants, maybe force them to have to tell attorneys or the state's attorney's office or the drug courts?
Right now, you know, the main thing that the Rachel Morningstar Foundation is focusing on right now is the Rachel Law. And the thing about the Rachel Law that we're trying to stress is that, you know, there shouldn't be untrained civilians put in high-risk situations, especially when there are weapons involved. You know, she had no crisis training. You know, that's the purpose of the Rachel Law, is so that no other civilians are put in these positions and taken advantage of because they're in vulnerable positions to begin with.
That's a great idea. And so
I read a letter to the editor of the Tallahassee Democrat yesterday that said, you know, that we shouldn't be passing laws in the name of a girl that was a criminal. Well, you know, that's not necessarily, I don't think that's the point. What I think the point is that, you know, whether or not she broke the law, she didn't choose to be put in harm's way. You know, she was basically coerced to get into that position. And if we can make that not an option for civilians ever again, then that's what we intend to do. It's not that we're, you know, I was just really upset by that letter to the editor of the Tallahassee Democrat saying that why should we make a law devoted to this criminal? Well, we're making a law, trying to make a law devoted to Rachel so that nobody else has to die for a war that isn't working.
Yeah.
And for police, you know, misabuse of power.
Exactly. And we should, to be fair, we should point out that Rachel wasn't charged with anything in this situation, and she was in a drug court diversionary program that would divert her charges. So technically speaking, she was not a criminal.
Exactly. You know, so that's the general trend. You know, she wasn't a criminal, and we just need to, you know, keep that going. It just bothers me to read things like that.
Well, people can be hateful in this drug war, and you know, drug users, cannabis users, have been demonized for so long as criminals, and they try to dehumanize us and make us seem like we're less deserving of our rights. But as we all know, that's just not the case. We've got to stand up for our rights, and this is part of it, is rectifying these sort of situations. Now, if people want to get involved and help with the Rachel Morningstar Foundation or involved in this Rachel's Law, you can visit the website of the Students for Sensible Drug Policy. They've got a page for donating to the Rachel Morningstar Foundation at ssdp.org/rememberRachel, all one word. That's ssdp.org/rememberRachel. We'll also have a link to that up at our blog at stash.normal.org. And please, just give all that you can. I know the family has just got to be devastated by the loss of their daughter.
I mean, you could see from the ABC interview that, you know, Margie and Irv are distraught about losing their only child.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that was their only daughter. You know, she was all that Irv had, you know, and now Irv spends so much time at her spot and has her cat at his house, and that's all he has left of his little girl is a bench with her name on it and her cat.
Yeah.
Because she was put in a position that, you know, that she shouldn't have been put in the first place.
Yeah, another innocent victim of this stupid war on drugs, and we're going to do everything we can to end this adult marijuana prohibition so nobody ever has to go through this again. It's just such a tragedy.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a focus her mom has mentioned down the line, but right now what we're just trying to stress is, you know, you have the right to say no.
Yeah.
Like, know your rights. You know, you have the right to say no, and hopefully it doesn't have to take something like this for you to learn that you have to say no. You know, it sucks that that's what we had to learn, but now we know.
Now we know.
And everybody else should know, too, that you have a choice.
Well, Liza, thank you so much for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash, and my condolences for your loss.
Thank you very much. You know, it's something that you think about every single day. Every time I see a rainbow or a flower or a butterfly, I always think of her.
Well, we'll make sure that Rachel didn't die in vain, and we save some other young people from ever having to go through this.
Let's hope so, because nobody deserves to have their life taken from them for any reason whatsoever.
All right. Thank you, Liza, for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Russ. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.